singing all down. Oh, let your Holy Ghost. Oh, singing all down. Oh, let your Holy Ghost. We can't do nothing to you. Sing it all down. Let your Holy Ghost come on down. We can't do nothing. Sing it all down. Come on down. Song says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified me and cleaned me forever. One day, he's coming back. How many know he's coming back? Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. Listen, we have that hope and we have that assurance on the inside that we will see our Maker, we will see Christ face to face, and not only will we see him, but all the loved ones, the dead in Christ, are going to rise first, and then us who are alive and remain, guess what? We're going to be caught up together with them. Listen, it's just a few. Somebody say, just a few more days. Just a few more days. Bristol Cemetery is going to erupt. Amen. Y'all know how many family and loved ones and folk and friends are out there? And not just there, but all of the saints were going to be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast that's going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Those of you that have your Bibles, amen, if you could turn your attention to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, beginning at the 24th verse. 24th chapter, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel, 24th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Amen. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1. And it reads, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And what I want to let you know, even before we get into this, this same passage, almost verbatim, with the difference of a few words, is also listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Amen. And then verse 2 says, for the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto the people. May the Lord thy God add unto the people. How many soever there be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my Lord the king may see it. But why? Why doeth the Lord the king? Why do you want to number these people? Why do you want to do this strange thing? Verse 4 says, Notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched over to Aroer. In the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad, and to the ward of Jazer. Then they came to Gilead, and in the land of Tahathim Hodshi, and they came to Danjan, and about Zidon, and they came to the stronghold of Tyre, to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they went out of the south of Judah into Beersheba. So when he had gone through all of the land and came to Jerusalem, at the end of the 9 months, it took 9 months and 20 days to number all of the army. That's how long it took. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And so the total, if you take this passage and take 1 Chronicles chapter 21, basically it was over 1 million soldiers that they had in the army. Somewhere about 1,100,000 if you combine that chapter with this chapter. And the Bible says, and now we got to get this. So put a finger in 21 as well, right? 1 Chronicles 21, because verse 7 in 1 Chronicles 21 says, and God was displeased. He was displeased with David, and therefore he smote Israel, right? And now if we can go back to. So I'm telling you right now, we're going to flip back and forth between 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Samuel 24. But if we can go back to 10, and David's heart smote him. This is what it says in 2 Samuel 24. David's heart smote him, and after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly, and I have done this thing. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came from the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And so Gad came to David, and told him and said unto him, Do you want 7 years of famine to come unto your land? Do you want to flee before the enemies? That was two. Or do you want to go into the hands of the Lord, where God will strike you with pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon the earth, upon Israel, and upon the morn from the morning even to the time of the appointed. And there died, and the people from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. So these were all the place where the census took place. There was a great plague, and 70,000 people lost their lives. And when the angel stretched forth his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil. and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord, and when he saw the angel that smote the people, he saw the angel. The Bible says in Chronicles 21 that he saw the angel in between heaven and the earth. Wow. It was like a destroying angel with a sword in his hand. And David saw it, and he feared. And David spake in verse 17 unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done this wickedly. But these people, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up to the rear of the altar to the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to that saying of Gad, he went up as the Lord commanded him. And Arunah looked and saw the king, the servant, coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord thy king come to the servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said to David, let my lord the king take the offer up and seemeth good unto him. Behold, if there be oxen for burnt sacrifices and a threshing instrument of the other instruments of oxen for wood. And all these things did Arunah as a king, because Arunah was like a king himself, give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. What Arunah tried to do was give David the threshing floor and give him the altar and to give David the things to the animals. But David said, no, I don't want it. I want to pay for it. I don't want you to give it to me. And the king said unto Arunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing. Because if I'm paying for something that don't cost me nothing, then I'm not really sacrificing. Amen. If you can sacrifice something that is not a burden to you or a sacrifice to you, and that's how we do the Lord. We try to give the Lord our leftovers. Or we try to give the Lord service. Well, I'll do this and this and this, but I don't want to do the hard thing. Amen. But how many know the Bible says present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's not just talking about your bodies, but even your servanthood unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice. Amen? It's a sacrifice. And so David said, no, I want to pay for it. I need to feel it. And so David had to pay greatly for this altar. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered a burnt offering and a peace offering, so that the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Amen? Now, y'all know good and well, I'm not going to try to preach this whole chapter. Amen? But the focal verse that I wanted to look at today is verse 10. And David's heart smote him. After that, he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Amen? And just quickly, because we got to be going into communion. Amen? And if I could give it a title, it would be, There's No Substitute for a contrite heart. Or there's no substitute for a heart of contrition. Amen. Amen. No substitute for a contrite heart. When David numbered the people. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you and we bless your name to know that you alone are worthy of all the glory, You're worthy of all of the honor. And you are worthy of all of the praise. God, we thank you for just who you are. We thank you for your word. This perfect law of liberty. The mirror that it is to really expose and show us the truth of our hearts. And even on as we lead into this day of liberty, so to speak, God, our liberty is found and our freedom is found in you. The fact that a holy God would send his son to die on an old rugged cross to take our place in death and to take the penalty that we deserve and the wrath that we deserve to pay our sin debt in full. Oh God, and it's a heart that turns in repentance to you where we've accepted you as Lord and Savior. And it's through conviction of the heart whereby we are saved. You said in Romans 10 and 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And it's a repentance. It's a turning away from sin and choosing to live for you. God, we love, crucify my very flesh. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and forsake we pray. Amen. 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 No substitute for heart's contrition. Amen. And how many know, man, that's really our first sacrifice. Amen. We talk about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That sacrifice on the outside can only take place because our hearts have been broken or repentant on the inside. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And even John the Baptist, when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come with their hard hearts and be baptized and go down a dry devil and come back up a wet devil. Amen. Baptism can't save you, but it's a commandment of God that, like as Christ has died, we choose to no longer live for ourselves, but to live for God. And we go down into the liquid grave. Amen. Representing our real person, our true person, that we're no longer choosing to walk in accordance to the old man. But we're buried as Christ was buried. And as he was risen through the operation of faith, guess what? That's what happened to us in the spirit. So although y'all see us, we can see each other in the physical. Guess what? Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. No man know where the wind bloweth, and no man know where it comes. Nope, you can't see the Spirit come in. But how many know we've been born from up above? Amen. And we've got the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. Amen. And so we just thank God, man. We thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost that we have. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But I'm going to send one that's going to testify of me. And he's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to bring it into the true truth and the true knowledge. Amen. He's also going to reprove and convict you. And how do I know I'm saved? Because my heart, I'm not talking about guilty, feeling guilty. But I'm talking about a true heart of conviction. Right? Where our hearts don't be callous. Right? That we can really know when we're off, when we do wrong. Man, there's something that when I speak to somebody and I'm just like having an attitude and I'm not talking to them right, amen, there's something called conviction that comes in. And I thank God for that, because how will we know we're saved, right? But God lets us know through the Holy Spirit that we belong to him. We can't just live any old kind of way. Amen. We can't just act any old kind of way. We can't just cut up and do the things that we used to do. And if we can do the things that we used to do and there's no conviction, no problem, we can go to the bar and drink and hang out and don't care. Amen. You need to check your salvation. Amen. But there's something. And listen, and I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. Lord knows, ain't none of us perfect. But we have a perfect Christ that lives on the inside. And if we can stay stuck in the same rut of where we used to be, guess what? We got to check our salvation. Because there ought to be a growing pattern of Christ-likeness on the inside of us. And we see here, even David and all that he did and all that he messed up and all that he sinned, he had a heart for God. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. And here in our text, the Bible says in verse 24, and the anger, verse 1 of 24, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he was moved, David, and he moved David against them, saying, go number Israel and Judah. Amen? And I told you we're going to be flipping back and forth. And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, says, and who was it that the Lord and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Amen? And as we see here, Satan was behind, and God allowed Satan to come in because of the pride that was in David's heart. And you know, and I read where over and over again leading up to this chapter, how God was just working through the army of David and David's mighty men. Amen. And they were defeating everybody, right? And because it wasn't the power of the army, but it was because of David's God, the true and living God that he served. That it was really less about the number, but it was all about the Lord. And to know that greater is he that was in David than he that was in the world. And so when David numbered the people, guess what? His pride arose in him, which Satan had a foothold to now come in and get in the middle of David's heart and cause him to number the people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and the Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn of the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should get the big head. Amen. Lest I should be exalted above measure. And guess what? Over and over again, we see how God allows Satan. Y'all know Satan is a pawn and a puppet to God. Amen. But how God would allow Satan, right, to come in. We see God working something out for our good, even in the life of Job. And he said to the Satan, where are you going? You see, you're going to and fro. Have you considered my son Job? Right? And y'all know what Satan's response to God was when he said, did you consider my son Job? He said, are you kidding me? He said, man, Job has a hedge of protection around him. And he's righteous. And he's upright. And he gets up every morning and he prays over his children and over his house just in case they sin. Right? I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing with Job. That's basically what Satan said. And how many know we need to continue to plead the blood of Jesus? Amen. To cover our homes and our houses and our children, we need to continue to pray. And in our prayer, to cover our house and our home. Guess what, y'all? But it's our repentant heart that say, God, just in case there's something on the inside where I'm not honest with you, where I'm not living right, where there's things in my heart, God, deal with it now. David said, create in me a what? Clean heart and renew in me a right spirit that I might, amen, do what you want me to do. Amen. Guess what? There's no substitute. Now, I know that we're talking about there's no substitute for a contrite heart, but guess what? There's no substitute for a righteous heart and righteous living before God. Because when we lay bare before God and we say, God, this is me, I repent and turn and confess from my wicked ways. Guess what? God assumes responsibility and he continues to cover you and protect you. Amen. And the devil can't do anything to you unless the Lord allows him to come in. And guess what? If the Lord allows Satan to come in. Amen. And because Satan had a right, because of his sin and because of his pride. And even in Luke 22:31, Jesus said to Simon, 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 Satan has asked to sift of you. He desires to sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Simon. Hallelujah. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fell not. That even though I got to deal with that stony heart, that even although I got to deal with that heart of pride, right? But that your faith would remain intact, and that when thou art converted, that when the Holy Ghost comes from on high, that when you're saved, showing up for real, guess what? You will strengthen your brother. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, I love it. I love it. I love looking at the life of Peter. Peter was the one that said, Lord, I'm going to go with you to the end. Peter was the one that stood up and represented the other disciples. Peter was the one that said, I'll go with you even unto death. And if everybody else leave you, I'm going to be right here with you. But the Bible says three times Peter denied Christ. I love it. Amen. Three times. Not only that, but the third time he cussed. He wanted to put an exclamation mark on it that he was not with Christ. And then the rooster crowed. Amen. And then Jesus looked at him from afar off. Could you imagine what he felt? Could you imagine the bitterness? The Bible says he wept bitterly. Amen. But guess what, y'all? The Lord didn't leave him there. Even after he came back and he appeared to the disciples, guess what? They all knew what happened. It was no secret what happened. But Jesus forgave him and he restored him to a place in Christ. And I'm telling you, listen, we've got to be honest. Help my voice, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Help me to keep calm. Somebody say, keep calm, Pastor. Keep calm. Help me to keep calm. Not to lose the message, amen. Because I can lose it in my excitement and you can miss it. But guess what? Even though Peter sinned and he denied Jesus Christ, God restored him. And even though David sinned and numbered the people, even though David sinned and slept with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the God we serve. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we say we have no sin, we are a liar. And the truth is not in us. But 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our faults before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God is able, y'all. He's able to forgive us. It's because of his death on the cross. Amen. And his blood that was shed. And when Peter denied Christ, this was one of the most humiliating pictures where Satan came in on the coattails of pride. The Bible says, talking about pride in Proverbs 6:16, six things I hate. And one of them is an abomination. And the first one he lists is a proud look. That's the top of the list. Pride is the sin which all other sins grow. Y'all know that? It's when we think we got it and we think we can do it. When we get lifted up, and that's what happened to Satan, Lucifer. The Bible refers to him as the morning star. He got puffed up in pride and he wanted to elevate himself like the Most High God. And it was pride that caused him to fall. Amen. We've got to know, man, pride is a booger. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And the opposite of pride is death and co-crucifixion. That's why we got to die. Guess what, y'all? We can't do it. We can't do ministry. We can't sing the song. We can't cook the chicken. We can't be the usher. We can't be the preacher. We can't be the deacon. But we've got to die to ourselves. Die to what we feel. Paul said, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who? Christ now lives in me. Amen. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it'll what? Abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And y'all, even if I don't get to the end of this message, we talk about liberation and being liberated. Listen, there's no more better liberating feeling than to know that you've been crucified. Than to know that God, you've gotten out of God's way. To know that, that if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new when you empty yourself of self. And guess what? You can't empty yourself. But it's a place of submission. It's a place in the Word of God when you agree with God. This is the true condition of my heart. Look how sinful I am. Look how wretched I am. Oh God, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, whether can I go? It's death in us and life in somebody else. Guess what? I thank God for VBS. Amen. To know that we got to die to what we feel. We got to die to the conditions out there. We got to die to what somebody else ain't doing. Deacon Wright says, stay in your own lane. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, that I will draw all men unto me. Guess what, y'all? There's no substitute of the power of replacement. We got to die. And if Christ could die, the Bible says God was in Christ Jesus, what? Reconciling the world back to himself. That means Christ humbled himself, became obedient even to the very death of the cross. And the Bible says he went a little further and fell on his face. And he said, oh my God, if it be possible, we've got to have that same closet experience. And we got to die. Somebody don't believe me. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 44, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And he respecteth not the proud, nor such turn aside to lies. The first point I had, when there's no substitute for the heart of contrition, is we must trust the Lord over what we see, what we feel, and what we think. Amen. We must trust the Lord. Yeah. We got to trust the Lord over what we see, because I see a whole lot of stuff. Amen. We got to trust the Lord over what we feel. Man, my feelings will mess me up. Amen. And we got to trust the Lord over what we think. Those two, three things. What we see, feel, and think. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. With what? All of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In some of your ways. In all of your ways. Trust. trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And this is why we got to die to ourselves. The Lord's was David's trust. And the Lord does his best work when we relinquish control through this word submission. Psalms 91, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and he is my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee. He shall cover thee with thy feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. We got to trust in the Lord. Amen. We got to trust in him. We got to trust in his strong arm, not ours. Yes. Y'all can just write these scriptures down because we won't have time to turn there. But Exodus 6:6 says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Amen. God is the one that does it. The Bible says, even in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord did not, 7:7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor did he choose you because you were more in number. David should have went back and read this verse. Or number than any other people. You were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he has sworn unto the fathers, had the Lord bought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen and out of Pharaoh the king. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth his covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's God. And we got to trust him. Amen. And even in our text here, when David sent the call to Joab to number the people, even Joab, and y'all know Joab was like the man who did the dirty work. Joab was the one who, when he felt somebody needed to die, Joab was the one who did it. And over again, we see here in the Bible how Joab would disobey David and kind of do his own thing. Even when David said, don't kill Absalom, right? It was Joab that killed Absalom. And the Bible says here in verse 3, and even Joab said unto the king, may the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever there be, and hundredfold, that the eyes of my Lord the king may see it. Basically, he said, David, we don't need the number of the people. Even Joab could see that the Lord was on their side. And y'all know what? That's how we do. We don't know the power that we have to call upon. We don't know the favor and the blessings of God that we have on us. And what we do, we go to work, we walk around people just looking right sad. Right? And the people know, listen, even the Egyptians knew. They talked about the God of the Israelites. And they saw what God did in the Red Sea. And how Moses brought them through he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea departed. And they came over on dry land. The world sees it. But guess what? Sometimes the one who needs to see it is you. Amen. God had blessed David. But still David relied on his own arm. And he relied on his own strength. And even in verses 5, 6, and 7, and 8, we see the people were numbered, which took 9 months. In total, over 1 million soldiers. And so even though Joab tried to stop David from numbering the people, David did it anyway. And in our text, in 1 Samuel 24:10, the Bible says David's heart smote him. Because if we remember, when I read earlier, 1 Chronicles 7:21 says that God was displeased with this thing and therefore smote Israel. People started dropping dead because there was a great plague that came on the people. And this plague wasn't just on David. Because when we read the first verse, the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So it was like the Lord was like, why I'm at it? Why the king's heart is messed up. Even there's some hearts of the people that are messed up. And the plague, and I'm not saying every good person or was every bad person, but for some reason, God included the whole nation. And what we got to know is when we go into sin, guess what? We affect our families. And we can affect the people that love us and the people that we love. There are personal sins. And then there are sins that are family related and can affect your whole family. That's why David says in Psalm 51, a broken spirit. And in a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And the first one that's got to repent are the fathers. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, if my people who are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray, turn from thy wicked ways. Seek my face. Then I will hear from heaven. Forgive them of their sins. And heal their land. Fathers. Say yes, what's up? Say, Father, say what's up? Father, say what's up? It starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with the Father. The word family comes from the word father. And guess what? When the father gets saved, guess what? The house will be set in order. Yes. Amen. And I remember, man, listen, my mother gave out most of the whoopings in the house. Right, Tracy? But the worst whooping that I got was when she said, I'm going to tell your father when your father get home. Boy, we will be shook. And you know, a lot of times she would spare us and I tell my father. But one time, amen, we were cutting up, supposed to be asleep, and my mother took my father's boots. He wasn't even home. And she act like she was coming up the steps with him. Boom. 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 Man, we scrambled around. Boy, we jumped in them bags. You know what I mean? Because the Father is coming home. And guess what? Guess what? Thank God for our men. Thank God for our fathers. Thank God for real men that love Jesus Christ. It starts with us. Amen. That's what's wrong with Bristol and Philadelphia. When God's heart, when real men love Jesus Christ, when real men are able to cry and say, God, I love you, and express themselves openly, guess what? Don't care about who's looking. Real men love Jesus. Amen. I'm a man about mine. Amen. But I love Jesus, and I'm not afraid to let this world know. Amen. And the first point that I have is there is no substitute for a heart of contrition. No substitute. Amen. We see where David was quick to repent. Amen. And I said it in verse 10, how David's heart smote him. And after that, he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away thine iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. David was quick to repent.
And guess what, y'all? We have to be sensitive. Amen. We have to have sensitive hearts. That when something comes and the Lord shows us some things in our heart, thank God for David, a man after God's own heart. That, guess what? We have a sensitive enough heart to know that, guess what? I need to repent. And I need to confess my sin before God. That's what, and what we do, when we let sin or linger, the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And when we let bitterness linger, when we let unforgiveness linger, when we let pride linger, and we stay out of this word of God, things have a way of coming in and staying in and making our hearts hard. David was quick to repent. We have to be quick to repent. We've got to be quick to let it go. Some people know how to hold on stuff. You can hold on to stuff. People can, you ever heard about a bad refrigerator? Some people like a real good refrigerator. Sometimes a refrigerator's too good. My wife said it's freezing the stuff. And that's how some hearts are. Man, they can hold on to some unforgiveness, what somebody did, what somebody said, what happened to them, what their mother did, what their father did, what their brother did, what their sister did, and they can hold on and freeze it and lock it up. Man, you got some things in your refrigerator that have been in there 25 years. Since 1976. Stuff that's in your heart and you're not willing to let it go. And you want to keep putting baking soda in that refrigerator. That baking soda ain't going to do nothing to that old food that's in that refrigerator. Those things got to come out. They got to come out. They got to come out. And there's some things in our lives that we got to let go. And y'all know what? We know good and well how to come to church, raise our hands, sing the song, living he loved me, dying, and shout. But knowing good and well, there's some things that are in our hearts that we're not willing to let go. And over again in the word of God, we see where David, even through the sin of Bathsheba, when Nathan came to him and said, "You the man, David." David could have said, "Man, you know who I am. You know I defeated Goliath. You know, I've ordered all these soldiers. Saul had his thousands, and I have my 10,000s. But three different times, over and over again, the Bible said his heart smote him. When Nathan stepped to David and said, "You the man, David," his heart smote him. Even when he went to cut off the bottom of Saul's robe, the Bible says his heart smote him. And even now in this text, the Bible says his heart smote him. And what we want to do, we want to come to church, give God praise on the surface, and some things in our hearts that just ain't right. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, when I first started in this position, God dealt with my heart. And I wrestled with him all night long because I did not want to pick up the phone and call this person and apologize to them. Person don't belong to this church. Amen. But I did not want to do it. And guess what? I could not rest. And y'all know what we've done? We've ignored God's voice so long that our hearts become hard. And guess what? We give the devil right. We open the front door. There's some hardness. I got some hard rooms. You can go in every room, but you can't go in that one room. There's some stuff that y'all don't pass. You don't know what they did. I can't let that go. Guess what? You invite the devil into your house. And we take that poison for somebody else. We take that anger and that bitterness that's meant for somebody else, and we drink it ourselves. And we become septic. And our hearts become hard. We've got to let it go. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to finish this sermon. But when David repented and his heart smote him, Amen. For when David was up in the morning and the word of the Lord came to Gad, and he offered up this thing, and he said, no, we'd rather fall into the hand of God because his mercies are renewed, are brand new. Yes, I'm going to suffer the consequences. And Lord knows, people are like, man, I want to be a man like David. You better watch what you ask for. Because the consequences came to his house where Amnon and Absalom died because of sin of the father. We bind and rebuke the curse right now in the name of Jesus. Just because your father did it, that don't mean you got to do it. Just because your father walked in it, don't mean that I want you to do it. Some things only come out by prayer and fasting. The Bible says, Paul said, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of who you are. Even women and mothers, just because your mother did it, that don't mean you got to do it. Just because your sister did it, that don't mean you got to do it. God is a bondage breaker, a chain deliverer. He will break you. He will pick you up. Turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. He's able. He's able to lift up the bowed down head, to break the chains, to break the bands asunder. He will do it. But you got to repent. And you got to confess. And I'm telling y'all, man, it's like when David looked up and he saw this angel with the sword between heaven and earth. I'm done. We can't see it. It's a spiritual battle that we're wrestling against. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Jesus said, they that continue in my word, truly you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? Truth. And it's the truth of the word of God. And that first truth is a mirror of how I really look. And it's the truth that sets you free. David repented. And the Bible says God relented. He said, hold up. He relented. And the wrath was vented. And God stopped the plague. Y'all, we've got to turn. We've got to repent. And just y'all, we can't get there from here. Yes, I want to shout. Yes, I like to sing. And my daughter be picking on me. She be like, Dad, no pitchy. And my wife, see, I heard you trying to sing up there today in church. But I'm telling y'all, listen, my highest shout and my highest praise comes when God has showed me something in my heart. And I gave and I said, God, I know it's there. I know it's there. Listen, and the Bible says this. The Bible says this. But whoso looketh, this is James chapter 1. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. If any among you seem to be religious, that's what the Bible says. Guess what? I grew up in the church, and thank God I don't have it down pat. The religious lingo. Amen. We know how to do church. Reverend Williams said, we can do church in our sleep. Y'all say amen. Now, I didn't really mean to say that, to say that y'all say amen. Because we know how to repeat the preacher. We know how to get people up out of their seats. Your blessing, your season, your favor, and all these things is on the way. We know how to give God praise. Man looks at the outward appearance, But God is looking at our hearts. Listen, and he says, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but he deceiveth his own heart. You deceive your own heart. And when God is speaking to you about something you're holding on to, and you're refusing to let that thing in that frozen refrigerator, y'all know the thing back in the back of the refrigerator that's frozen, to let it go, guess what? It's going to affect everything else. And we shout on top of the surface, and our hearts become hard. And the last point I have is, don't let the enemy hide out in unconfessed sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, whosoever conceals his sin will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Thank God. When we talk about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And he said, put on the belt of truth. We got to put on the belt of truth. We got to see ourselves. Man, I'm telling you, we were praying through the Ephesians. All I can do is tell y'all. I can't even put it in words. But it was like, man, this verse jumped off the page. And it hit me in my heart. You can't have real love without the truth. But what we try to do is fake it till we can make it. You shall know the truth. I got to know the truth of my heart. Man, we've been running and hardening so long that we're just faking it on the top. And you wonder why your face can be frowned up. There's no true joy. There's no true deliverance. There's no true freedom. Because we're not willing to allow this word to examine our hearts and be honest. Joshua told Achan, give God the glory. And tell thee the truth of what's in your heart. Achan said, I saw it, I coveted it, and I hid it. And that's an example of what we do when we let things fester in our hearts. Man, I'm tired. God's got to get the victory out of my life. The song says, how did you feel? When you come out of the wilderness, I went to a meeting last night and something wasn't right. My heart wasn't right. Something. Somebody say something. Something got a hold of me. There's no freedom. There's no liberty. Like to liberty to know that you're free in Christ. I'm free. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Thank God I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. I can bounce to the moon when you're free. You weren't there. You don't know, you don't know where. Nobody knows what the Lord has done for me. When you're free. How many free? How many free? The chains gotta come off. The bondage has gotta come off. The baggage has gotta come off. We've gotta be free. We've gotta be free. Man, there's so much more that I wanna say. But time will not permit me. This 4th of July, thank God I am who I am. Thank God. Wouldn't wanna be nobody else. Thank God for my wife. But guess what, y'all? When we're free, listen, we can be who we are in Christ. But above my blackness, guess what? We got to know our freedom is in Christ. Amen. Our freedom is in Christ. As we stand to our feet, amen. We can give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Now, I will keep on preaching if y'all don't stand up. God is good, y'all. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And guess what? And all that I said about deliverance, if you're saved, we have to continue to deny ourselves, take up our cross every day, and follow Jesus Christ. But if there's somebody in this place and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, and you're not saved, and there's no conviction, and you think you can just live like the devil, I'm here to tell you, you need to accept Christ into your heart. And if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ, you can come and accept them into your heart. I thank God for little Josiah at the camp. I walked over to the junior boys class and I asked them what they were teaching about. And some of them said faith. Some of them said this or some of them said that. But Josiah, he said that we got to pay for our sins. Our sins have to be paid for. And guess what? We can't pay for our sins. But it's Jesus Christ who shed his blood on Calvary that paid for our sins. And if we don't know him, we need to accept him into our heart. Then he said, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. When David repented and his heart smote him, and he turned and he saw the angel with the drawsword hand between heaven and earth, that's a picture of what's going on in our lives through Satan and his demons when we don't know him. And he keeps causing havoc in our lives, and depression and sadness, thinking that we can fulfill our lives, but we can't. If there's somebody here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, you can come right now and accept him into your heart. Is there one? As the choir sings, you can come to the altar and accept him into your heart. Is there one? And it's not coming that accepts. It's believing in your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that would like to rededicate their life back to Jesus? You can also come. Is there one? Amen. You're not living in that place that you know where you need to be. And you're faking it. And you're portraying a lifestyle that you know that God is not pleased with. You can also come to this aisle and rededicate your life. He's married to the backslider. Is there one? Is there one?